is Weekend Ag Matters, produced by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network and News Talk 1540 KXEL. Here are your hosts, Anna Hastert and Dustin Hoffman.
Thanks for tuning in to Weekend Ag Matters on KXEL. This program is brought to you by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Anna Hastert, your host here this week. Joining me later in the program is Dustin Hoffman and Ken Root. This week we'll be discussing the Iowa State Fair, marketing to Generation Z, as well as Independence Day. If you aren't able to listen to the full program or missed last week's show, you can find previous episodes on our website, iowaagnet.com. Those episodes are located under the podcast tab. Without further ado, let's tune into my piece on the 2019 Iowa State Fair to be hosted August 8th through the 18th. One of my favorite pastimes, the Iowa State Fair, is roughly 30 days away. I am so excited for this event and extremely excited because the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network will have a booth at the fair again this year. Now, if you didn't catch us at the fair last year, we are located right next to the Super Bowl on the south end of the fairgrounds. Now, if you haven't signed up for our e-newsletter before, this is the perfect time for you to stop by our booth and sign up for that. It features the top five stories from the day, really easy read, but if you sign up for the e-newsletter at the fair, we will give you a free gift. That's right, a free gift for signing up for our free e-newsletter. And if you've already signed up for our e-newsletter, no worries, we've got you covered. We have some sunscreen to give away, as well as some tattoos for the kiddos or grandkids that you might be bringing with you to our booth. So stop by and see us at the Iowa State Fair, right next to the Super Bowl. On another note, I recently had the opportunity to sit down with Mindy Williamson, Marketing Director of the Iowa State Fair, to talk about some of the new things at the fair this year, as well as other things for people to enjoy at the fair. So sit back, relax, and listen to my interview with Mindy Williamson, Marketing Director of the Iowa State Fair. Mindy, the fair's coming up here real soon. Let's talk about the top 11 things of the fair.
Yeah, the reason that we choose 11 is because we have 11 days of the fair, and we have some great things. You know, our theme this year is fair favorites, which ties in nicely to maybe your traditional favorites that you can find at the fair. But every year, we try to highlight some of the new things that you can do at the fair. And we have some great ag education opportunities. Our dairy folks have kind of ramped up their tours this year. We have goat yoga. We have our farm to fair meal that is in its second year, and we also have fair after dark events. So we have entertainment options, which are always very popular, free entertainment, and then our grandstand entertainment. Butter. So the butter cow is our iconic item that you can see at the Iowa State Fair, and that starts sort of getting into shape a couple weeks before the fair, but also finishes at the fair in Sesame Street. Is going to be in the butter cooler this year. So maybe see Cookie Monster, Oscar, some of your favorite characters there made out of butter. And then we also have some new daytime entertainment. So we know evening entertainment is really popular with people, but we want to make sure that we have plenty of things for kids and families to do during the day. So it's not very common that you get to see sea lions in Iowa, but we have a sea lion show this year. Mutton busting has been very popular for us in the past. We only did it on one day, and this year we're doing it every day, all day, so you can partake in that. Kids love it. It's so fun to watch as well. There'll be bleachers there if you just want to watch, or you can sign your kids up. And then alligator wrestling will be in our kids' zone. So these are some fun new things that families can do together and see at the Iowa State Fair.
And one of the items that you mentioned that's in its second year now is the Fair to Farm. You kicked that off last year, had a big table displayed, kind of helping connect consumers to their rural farmers. Let's talk a little bit more about the details of this event.
It is one of our favorite events. It's only in its second year, and the Iowa State Fair, you know, has a great agricultural history, and this just helps us communicate to consumers today. As people kind of move away from their farm experience, this is a way for them to sit down just like they would at Sunday dinner on a farm, but they're sitting down with 500 other folks and asking real farmers from across the state sort of where their food comes from. The meal itself is provided by our commodity groups, and they're there to participate and show that we have such a wealth of agriculture in the state, and that's exactly what you find on your plate, and it comes right from our farmers here in the state. So super proud to have that coming back this year. It will be in air conditioning. We know the fair gets really hot, and last year we had it on Grand Avenue. We're moving it into the pavilion so folks can apply to get a free ticket and a free meal and come meet farmers on that Friday of the fair.
And Mindy, you mentioned that it's moving indoors this year, but will it still be the biggest dining table set?
It will actually be round tables, so the conversation will be a little easier, but it will be the largest dinner at the Iowa State Fair. And when we say dinner, our farm folks know that that is your midday meal, dinner and supper. And so we want consumers to sit down to dinner with folks over that noon hour and enjoy it. And they'll be at round tables this year, but the largest dinner that we have.
And people curious for joining this event, how can they go about registering?
You can go to our website, iowastatefair.org. It's called Farm to Fair.
And another new event that you mentioned that's kind of ag-focused here, Mindy, is goat yoga. I know Jenna and I saw that on the schedule, and we're really excited about that event. Can you tell us a little bit more about when those events will be and who can participate in goat yoga?
Absolutely. So goat yoga was something that we tried last year. It's kind of a trending thing. And, you know, we had the ripe opportunity to do that here because we already had goats. So we brought in a yoga instructor in our animal learning center, and we took our brand new baby goats and did goat yoga with them, and people loved it. We had a packed house for the two events we did, so we are doing three events this year, and they are ticketed events. So it's $20 that you pay, but you get a free yoga mat for participating in its logo with our goat yoga logo, and that is on August 12th at 2 p.m., August 14th at 6 p.m., and August 17th at 10 p.m. So we have a couple different times of day, so hopefully you can make it. There is nothing cuter at the fair than those baby animals, so it's an event where you can get a little exercise, but mostly you can spend some time with our babies.
And Mindy, what else do people need to know about this year's fair?
August 8th through the 18th, that is when we are open. It's 11 great days in August. And if you need more information, you can go to our website, iowastatefair.org. You can download our Iowa State Fair app on the Apple Store or Google Play. And we also have text alerts available. So you can text FAIR to 75782, or you can also text BABY to 75782. And that particular text will let you know when we are having baby animals in our animal learning center. So a couple of different ways to get information. We also do giveaways and promote things on our website, our e-newsletter, our app as well. So download those today.
All right, Mindy, and last question before we head out here. What's your fair favorite?
I have a couple of fair favorites. So when you talk to people, food is very important here, and everyone has their favorites. I actually love the tenderloins. So Chuck E.'s tenderloins are at the top of my list. And that peppermint ice cream is also, I love the honey lemonade that's in the ag building. I also love our traditional favorites here, like Ye Olde Mill, our Biggest Boar, Super Bowl. Those are all some of my favorite things to see and do. And fun fact, I was a Bill Riley talent participant, so I always love catching just a couple minutes of that. A lot of those kids come from all over the state, and it's their first time visiting the Iowa State Fair. So very fun and cool to see.
Mindy, we greatly appreciate you being able to sit down and talk about the Iowa State Fair and hope that everybody can join us August 8th through the 18th. That's all I have for you guys this week, but stay tuned. We'll have more news after the break.
Data is data is data. Unless you work with FS, then your data comes with expert insight. Tapping into a wide range of technologies through MyField, your FS crop specialist evaluates trial data from your farm, along with only the most qualified aggregated data that reveals trends in your area. With MyField, your FS crop specialist delivers the insights you need to build your ROI. Learn how results from FS nitrogen trials can be applied to your farm at fsmyfield.com. FS, bringing you what's next.
Everyone has their Iowa State Fair favorites. For families, it's camping at the fairgrounds. For some, it's the accordion playing contest. What's your Iowa State Fair favorite?
Oh, spending time with family. And there are plenty of ways that we do that. Watching the kids enjoy little hands on the farm, soaring above the fair on the sky glider, strolling through the art exhibits and the jams and jellies, browsing in the VI building for tattoos. Ooh, a grandstand show and fireworks. Then we start thinking about what we'll do tomorrow. Maybe watch the talent show, grab a lemonade, spin art, maybe take in a horse show.
Nothing compares to enjoying a full day or week of fair favorites at the Iowa State Fair, August 8th through the 18th in Des Moines. Visit iowastatefair.org for details.
Riding the giant slide, helping with the sew-in, checking out the flowers, trying some goat yoga.
When you want to get more for your money, start by getting more when you borrow it. And you can get more with Farm Credit Services of America. Along with attractive rates and ag-friendly terms, you get an entire organization that understands what you do and works for your success. You can also get cash back dividends, which gives you even more. Call Farm Credit Services of America at 1-800-884-FARM. Agriculture works here.
You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Here again is Dustin Hoffman.
Marketing is all over the place. We can't turn on any piece of social media without finding it. The internet was once a safe haven from ads. There used to be very few of them. There were also dial-up modems, too, but things change. Now we're bombarded. You have to watch 60 seconds of ads just to watch a 13-second video and have a 30-second video interrupt that one after 6 seconds of watching. Ads block content or just plain pop up in front of it. How many times have you tried to click on a link to something only to have your smartphone or tablet screen jump at the same instant and you end up clicking a pop-up ad? Sure, there are options where we can pay to have an ad-free experience. In other words, more marketing. Every business needs to be able to market itself. There's no question about it. We may groan about having to see the advertisements invading every facet of our lives, but let's be realistic. If companies don't advertise, they don't make money. If they don't make money, neither do we. Marketing means we just get our advertising to resonate with someone. Farmers and producers must find a way too. Not all of us are marketing directly to consumers, but some of us are. However, all consumers are watching what we are doing and judging us for it. As the world has gotten closer and closer, thanks to technology, we are having to face another hurdle, and that hurdle is Generation Z. For all the grief millennials get, they aren't nearly as hard to market to as Gen Z. Gen Z is the first generation truly brought up by technology. They've never lived in a world where they didn't have access to the internet. They're also the first generation to not be able to remember firsthand the events of September 11th. They're now starting to graduate high school and are becoming part of the consumer marketplace on their own. During Iowa Swine Day, we heard from Dr. Wes Jamison of Palm Beach Atlantic University. He teaches public relations, persuasion, political communication, and advertising. Dr. Jamison has gained his experience with Gen Z by teaching them. He says marketing hasn't changed, it's just a matter of understanding how to relate to new consumers. He and his students have collaborated on many social advertising experiments. He talked with producers in attendance about the mindset they will need to understand when marketing to Gen Z. According to Dr. Jamison, there are a few things you need to understand about them. Gen Z is not willing to listen to any information they don't agree with. It doesn't matter if you have science or data to back up your side. It doesn't even matter what data they can use to back up their argument. They're not interested. They're only interested in their opinions. They won't change their minds based on information. They would rather spend 3 or 4 times the effort on finding something that supports their views rather than listen to your argument. Dr. Jamison provided an anecdote.
And the amount of misinformation that we have there is absolutely profound. I'll tell you one quick anecdote. Poultry scientist, I was in a class where a student made the comment that that they get boneless chicken breasts from boneless chickens. They genetically engineered chickens to be boneless. My undergraduate degree from Auburn was in poultry science. I spent my early career with Publix supermarkets in Florida doing consumer relations. So I actually had Joy Mitch call in on the phone to the class and present the information as to why it was improbable that a boneless chicken was possible. To which the student said, "It doesn't matter what you say, I will not believe you."
They always believe they're right. Therefore, they're experts in everything they believe in. They don't identify with a sense of community. They instead have become part of internet tribes, consisting of people they believe share their values or at least think like they do. They have no problem using social media to mobilize their tribe to disrupt the supply chain for what they believe. Dr. Jameson said they can achieve this mobilization in a matter of minutes, where protests used to take days or weeks to organize.
Now what happens when you have an issue is you have students from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, stage die-ins in the meat and produce department of Publix to disrupt their business model because Publix donated to a political action committee that supports the Second Amendment. So we see a sea change not only in the willingness to disrupt consumer and retail operations with food, but the ability of technology to mobilize that disruption.
They don't believe they need a factual basis for their protests. It's just about what they believe. It's like how they take a position in an argument. Sometimes members of a protest don't even understand what they're protesting. They just feel they have a right to make everyone listen to their opinions.
Generation Z lives in a milieu where anyone, anywhere, can say anything, anytime, on any topic, and have the internet amplified. Everyone is an expert. So in the olden days, like 10 years ago, there was something called the gatekeeping function. There were multiple speed bumps between your idiotic ideas and the public forum. Right? That no longer exists, or my idiotic ideas. So what we have is not only the technological ability to vocalize, we have a sea change where this generation, and the research shows this, sees it as almost a constitutional right to be heard. Now imagine if 20 years ago, your parents had walked around with a Polaroid instant camera, taking pictures of themselves all day and putting them on the wall. You thought they were weird. What's the point of a selfie other than narcissistic exhibitions? So we have an entire milieu that demands the right to be heard. Keep that in mind, and it's technologically enabled and internet amplified.
They are a post-literate culture. They can read, they just don't want to. Their brains learned early on how to associate learning through visual cues. They've grown up with technology giving them information in short, flashy bursts. They love what's called the Snapchat effect. That means they can say something and have it disappear. They get their message out amongst their tribe, but they don't have to be accountable to it. And they're not brand loyal. They would rather watch your company crash and burn rather than support its success. So we now understand their values. So what is Gen Z looking for? What are their wants and needs? As Dr. Jameson points out, their wants and needs are no different than our own. They need homes, food, clothing, healthcare, and social interaction. The thing is, they go after these things based on their way of consuming information, quickly, visually, and in line with their way of thinking. So how do we break into this format and market to it? How do you sell a product to someone who has an unfounded negative opinion of it? Dr. Jameson says that it's possible. First, you can no longer rely on long stories to build your brand. You must find a favorable social context. Jameson says you have to look to the three A's when you tell your story or market your brand. Attention. First, you have to get their short attention span. It needs to be quick and flashy. If you can't achieve a visual stimulus, for instance, if you're at a live event, use smell, like cooking bacon, for example. It's a great attention getter. Free samples are also a great way of achieving this. Like every generation before them, Gen Z likes getting free stuff. See, some things haven't necessarily changed. If you're online, you may have to sit among their tribe and bite your tongue. Even say things that support their ideas, even if it goes against what you eventually want to advocate for. Next is acceptance. When you have their attention, it's time to give them visual stimuli to tell your story. If they're in your line to get free bacon or ice cream, tell them about the process in which the food was made. Tell them the positives of that industry. Show them pictures of your cows and pigs in happy and comfortable surroundings. If you're online, wait for them to start liking your posts and comments. Even if it is comments you are trying to change their mind about, gain their acceptance in the group, then they will listen to your opinion. And lastly, it's action. Now is when you start to slowly and gradually change their minds. Once they've accepted you, they'll be more receptive to you. If you're using those food samples, they're going to associate that tasty bacon or ice cream with the information you just presented them. It is that association that they like with short bursts of a backstory. If you're online, start to say things they agree with, but use the but addendum. This means you're agreeing with them, but now seeing another point of view. If they've accepted you, they'll start to change theirs. Advertising and advocating to a new generation is not easy, but it's possible. You need to remember the wants and desires of the generation isn't necessarily different. It's how it's presented with information. It's how they build their levels of trust and acceptance. Once you crack this code, you can be successful with them. Every so many generations, we see a paradigm shift in how the next generation absorbs information. It's not new. It's just a matter of being ready to adapt to survive. This information I gave you leans heavily on marketing. However, farmers need to realize they're always marketing for their brand. They are the first link in a supply chain. At the other end are the consumers. More and more, they're making decisions based on what they perceive to be happening at the beginning of the chain. If you don't believe this, look at the fallout from the Fairlife situation. Dr. Jameson says this was a textbook example of how Gen Z reacts. Their mind is made up no matter what following information comes out. Remember, they're not interested in follow-up facts. By the time you bring them supporting evidence about a subject, they're already 10 topics ahead of you. Producers and advocates need to adapt and move more quickly, or they're going to be left behind. For Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, I'm Dustin Hoffman. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Here is Ken Root.
I love the Independence Day holiday for a lot of reasons. It has its own day, July 4th, so the government can't designate it to be on a Monday. It is loud and sometimes boisterous with bands, fireworks, and flyovers. The season is hot, but you can usually find a slice of cold watermelon to cool down. I'm proud to be an American, inside and out. I love to see our flag being raised or carried high. I remember some scary years in the 1950s and 60s when we didn't know if we could really defend it against a nuclear foe. I remember when John F. Kennedy Jr., as a very small boy, waved a little flag as his father's casket was carried by the White House. I was in college when the flag was burned and cursed in protest of the war in Vietnam. Today, some think a flag makes too bold a statement. I see our flag as just a symbol of us. What stirs inside me when I see our flag is my experiences through life. In the years since our Declaration of Independence, it has become a ragged old flag. But it's still there, whether we love it or leave it. The flag is a symbol of American spirit. As a country that is free to express our views, it will continue to be challenged by internal dispute. Our nation has created a unique place in history. We stand as the world's policeman. We can't stop conflicts from beginning, but we can reduce their consequences. I am moved by patriotic music, from Lee Greenwood to Johnny Cash. But I realize it goes deeper, especially when I hear a choir sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. The image of the Lord with a sword chills me. And I can see how religious fervor can translate into military action and into a cause for which people are prepared to die. My final observation is that America may continue to have family fights and internal unrest, but our face to the world must show determination. Any terrorist should know that hitting us means we will hit back. We are a complex people. An American can be any color or religion. We can be first generation or descendants of the revolution. We can be educated or illiterate, rich or poor. Under our flag, we are all the same. We hope to have a society where we are all given opportunities and self-determination. Today, we are of different opinions on issues of race and rights. It's not unusual for our country to have such. We've never been static. We have always progressed and remolded ourselves, and that causes internal strife. But when we are challenged, we have always responded. I see no change in that attitude today.
Let us die to make men free, while God
God bless America. Long may our flag of freedom wave. I'm Ken Root for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Thank you, Ken, and that puts the wraps on another edition of Weekend Ag Matters here from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We thank you for tuning in and look forward to visiting with you again next weekend. Don't forget to follow all of our stories on our website at iowaagnet.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Iowa Ag Radio. On behalf of myself, Anna Hastert, Jenna Huffman, and Ken Root at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, we wish you a great week ahead. See you next weekend for Weekend Ag Matters.